What if there is no standard in my area of interest? Well, yay! Then I don't have to deal with all this nonsense, right? Yippee, freedom! Or is it possible that there is indeed no standard in my sector, but it would be really great if there were one?
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Hello and welcome back to our little podcast, Human Beings Are Not Ants, what you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. My name is Amelie and I'm so happy to have you with me here again today. In the last two episodes, I mainly talked about how you apply standards and how you can use standards as a strategic instrument. The angle was that my own topic is already included in standardization. So there is a standards committee and existing standards, and I might want to participate. But what if there is no standard in my area of interest? Well, yay, then I don't have to deal with all this nonsense, right? Yippee, freedom! Or is it possible that there is indeed no standard in my sector, but it would be really great if there were one? And how would I even know if that is the case? This is what I'm going to talk about today. So, how do I know that I am missing a standard? I mean, well, you know, doctor, I'm not feeling so well. Oh yes, it's clear that you are missing a standard. It sure doesn't work like this, but how are you supposed to know? First of all, I need to explain what I mean when I say I am missing a standard. You can imagine different situations in which a standard is missing. For example, you can be in a field where there are many standards and you want to get started. So you get all the standards, apply them, go for certification, and then realize, oops, I forgot a standard. Sure, a standard is missing here, that's correct, but the standard itself is not missing. You just overlooked it. This case is super simple. You get the standard, apply it, done. You don't need DEAN for that. Instead, you need the reference from your certification and then the nearest standards info point in the university library, your company's access to standards, the search on Beuys Verlag's website, or, but in any case, not DEAN. You need DEAN when the standard simply does not yet exist. Of course, there are many standards that don't exist, and this is how it should be. Many areas of life and technology are not covered by standards, and that's okay. For example, I think it's great that there are no standards that give me requirements on exactly what a Christmas tree should look like. I love the fact that we have many different trees to choose from. The trees have different sizes, have different numbers of branches, different prickly needles, and come from different regions. There are some made of plastic, and if you feel like it, you can put strings of lights around a palm tree and make that your Christmas tree. So here you can see a standard is missing, and that is just fine. But then, how do you actually recognize that there is an issue that should urgently be clarified by your standard, but nobody has done it yet? Well, it depends on the situation. I'll do my best to describe the most common cases. If, for example, you are working on a topic that's new or where different disciplines are working together for the first time, maybe there's terminology that everyone uses, but just as it suits them. And you think to yourself, man, someone really needs to get it together and standardize these terms. We would make such better progress if we were all speaking the same language. This endless back and forth, no, we don't mean this in the same way as before, but in the following context, is simply a waste of time. And if you forget to clarify these things in the beginning, then you start heading in the completely wrong direction. This would be an excellent reason to jump in and take action, to initiate a standards project on exactly this topic, initiated by the person who discovered this gap, namely you. Yeah, but it's only a few terms that are used interchangeably. There's no need to make such a fuss and create a whole standard for just that. No, that is not too insignificant for a standard. These few terms can be the deciding factor. Don't underestimate the importance of making sure that everyone is on the same page and can understand one another. There are special terminology standards for this reason. These are like dictionaries for special situations, technical cooperation and things like that. For example, there is a DIN spec titled Terminology of Intelligent Individual Urban Mobility. Many different types of people contributed to this DIN spec. From research to municipalities, from rail vehicle people to IT, just to name a few. This DIN spec includes the definition of the term infrastructure. But why that word? Really, everyone knows that already? That's exactly what the rail vehicle people and the IT people thought too. But that infrastructure, from the perspective of rail vehicles, could possibly be completely different than infrastructure from the IT perspective. The sociologists present were the first ones to come up with that idea. And to prevent everyone from continually talking past one another, this term and many others were defined in this document. Here's another situation where you might notice a gap in standardization. Maybe you're a startup. You've spent ages on a super innovative solution for something, but now everyone is saying to you, "Oh, wow, cool idea, but I can't buy it because it's not according to standard." Then you say, "Of course not. This here is completely new. It's not in any standard." But the others stick to what they have been saying, that if something is not according to standard, it doesn't have a chance. Then, too bad, right? No, of course not. You've discovered a gap in standardization and you can close it. Get in touch with us. Or another situation. Maybe you're thinking someone should finally make people standardize something. A very beloved example, mobile phone charging cables. Can't Dean finally do something and make sure that these things are uniform? As you can imagine, this is another wonderful reason to initiate a standards project. And even if you don't produce mobile phone charging cables yourself, you can still do it. Because, for example, you could say it from the consumer's point of view. This chaos is really stupid. I am initiating a standardization project. Ideally, you are somehow organized for this purpose through consumer councils or foundations or associations or something, because this gives your proposal more weight. But that's not a requirement. We also deal with requests that come to us from private individuals. But keep in mind, standardization is voluntary. We don't have any law enforcement power. We can invite the stakeholders and show them the benefits and opportunities, but if they don't want to do it, well, then they don't want to. When a sector recognizes the value of compatibility, then it works really great. But in sectors that want to force each other out of the market, we can talk our heads off and it doesn't matter. The players still won't sit down together. Even though you benefit so much from it, especially in fields that are completely new and where there are no political guidelines or trends yet, then it would be very worthwhile to start preparing in a technically neutral way what would be possible and useful in this area. When the politicians then get the topic on their radar, there are already proposals out there. And the recommendations are there for you to refer to. A former politician explained this once in a business breakfast. It was about an innovative topic and those present were a bit like, "Huh, I don't know, the politicians aren't speaking out, we don't really know where this is heading." And the former politician said, "Hey people, don't be stupid. Use the freedom you have now to define technical specifications in a neutral way so that what you are doing will work. And then when the politicians get you on their radar, they don't have to ban everything first. They will be happy if industry has already prepared and laid the groundwork. The more official, the better. Because politics is to a very large extent about not putting your own head in the noose. And if there is anything that was designed to be placed in such a noose, It's a Dean document. This brings us to a realm that I would like to call the approval jungle. It's a bit hidden in our society, but very powerful. And once you get it, you understand in many respects why things work the way they do, or don't work at all. I'm going to tell you all about this next time. Until then, take care and stay curious.